Let's open our Bibles and let's turn to the book of Ephesians as we are going through the Word of God in the book of Ephesians. And last time, remember, we saw the difference between the carnal man and the spiritual man. How the carnal man, he spends, he is wasteful in everything what he does, the time is all wasted, and his focus is all upon this earth. But the spiritual man, his focus is on heavenly things. And the spiritual man, I saw, the closer he gets, older he gets, closer he comes to heaven. Because he's looking for heaven. And now, as we are going to continue in Ephesians, we will start from verse 21. And let's read here. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So here we see that as we go along, then next verse is, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands, to their own husbands in everything. Now, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to just lay a little foundation. This is like part one, more like an introduction to what we are really getting to next time. So next time we are going to talk about more on wives. So, you know, then after that, more on husbands. So, but today, I just want to leave a little introduction. And the topic that I would give today is God's order of submission. God's order and submission. Alright? Now, if you let us look in a circular, in a worldly way, and see how everything is arranged in order. For instance, if you plan a trip, let's say if you are planning a trip to the Philippines, alright, you don't just go to the airport and tell, I'm going to the Philippines. Let me in. You cannot just go to the plane and sit wherever you want to. Right? You can't. You got to plan it, because first you got to call the airlines or a travel agent, and you know, make your arrangements, a reservation, and after that you got to pack your things and everything. Everything is done orderly, and even when you go inside the plane, you know, they have a special seat for you. You cannot just sit anywhere you want to, right? So what I'm trying to show you is everything. There's an order. For instance, if you go to the grocery store, if you go to the grocery store, you don't see everything in chaos. What I mean is everything is not in disorder. Alright? You don't see everything, the meat, the fish, the canned foods, the vegetables, and, you know, the fruits, everything on a big heap. Huh? Then you don't see everybody getting everything. No. You see everything in order, specific order. You get the different aisles, you know, for coffee and cream, the rice and beans, and, you know, vegetables and the meat department. Everything is so beautifully, orderly arranged, and the pricing. You get the cashiers and the lanes, and you get a manager and people who are cleaning behind. You don't see them. And you see the trucks coming and delivering. What beautiful order, isn't it? And also, if you go on the roads, people cannot drive any speed they want to. There are traffic lights. And when you go on the freeway, it tells you if you want to get off from this lane, you know, you got to exit here. The streets are being named. Huh? And the beautifully arranged the system, and you can see all the cars flowing in a beautiful way. And even your own home. If you go to your own home, you see everything in disorder. you know, your bed in the kitchen, and your bathroom in the living room. No, it's not like that. We put everything in order, right? It's common sense, right? Think about it. In the same way, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, it says that God created the heavens and the earth. And it was God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, earth was without form, void, darkness was on the face of the deep of the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And here we see in the book of Genesis, the things were disorder, but out of that, God created order. He created the light. He created vegetation. He created the water. He created the animals. He created the man. So everything was beautifully arranged by a designer. And if you see a design, there is a designer behind it. If you see a beautiful picture, there's a painter behind it. You understand? So that's very easy to understand. Now even look at our earth. While you're sitting here, the earth is rotating on its axis at a speed of 1,000 miles per hour. Now you don't even know about it. You don't feel it. If it's not rotating at the speed of 1,000 miles per hour, tomorrow will be very late to come. You understand? And you say, man, the day goes fast. Yeah, it goes fast because it's rotating at 1,000 miles per hour. At the same time, the earth is moving around the sun at the speed of 67,000 miles per hour. While you're sitting here, it is going very fast. Now just imagine, it's moving and it's rotating on its axis at 1,000 miles per hour. At the same time, it is going at a speed around the sun at 67,000 miles per hour. Do you know about it? Do you feel it? Is your hair going all the way like that? Folks, wait a minute. God, you're speeding here. No. You don't feel it, right? Is the earth going to strike another planet and this and that? You know, just imagine how beautifully the Lord has arranged all these things. Yet how many people are saying, I don't see God. That's amazing. If you just look at the things where you live, you will know that there is God. Because it's so beautifully arranged. There's order. Orderly arranged. Even we have the seasons. And we have the years. We have the months. We have the weeks. We have the days. And we have the hours. We have the seconds. Everything goes according to second. Right? Beautifully arranged. Now the conclusion is what? We cannot do anything without order. Nobody can do anything without order. Think about it. From the time you wake up until you go to sleep, you do everything according to order. When you wake up, you go to shower, take a bath, you eat your breakfast. You know, everything, you know, is done according to order. And for instance, if you go to a hotel, do you see in the hotel the cooks and the waiters and the food and the people, you know, janitors and the managers all in a big lump, in chaos? No. Everything is in order. And even when you cook, when you cook, do you put all the onions into a whole pan of garlic and the meat and the vegetables and everything there, put some water, and here's your food? No, right? I mean, So here, everything is done in order. Now, it's the same with spiritual. I gave you a worldly illustration so you can understand the spiritual. In the spiritual, everything is done in order. We have God, and then we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is what? Is the head of the church. Then after Jesus, we have the pastors and the elders, and we have the lay people, and the church is called the body. And then it goes even deeper into your homes. That's why in the Bible it says, first comes the Lord Jesus Christ, then comes the husband. It's in order. Huh? Husband, then the wives, then the children. It goes like that. God has created all these things in order. Alright? So, in a spiritual way, there is order. Now, so with the order comes what? Submission. Right? You find everything first in order, then in, and you can take worldly illustrations, like I said, in a hotel, in order you get the manager first, under him you get the assistant managers, you get the what? The reception, the chefs, and different departments. At the end you see the cooks and the waiters and the cleaners and the janitors. So everything is done in order. Alright? So that's why with order comes submission. Like when you go in an airplane, you get a captain. We all cannot fly. And so there's a captain. When the captain gives an order, you know, you got to fasten your seat belts. You're not going to take your seat belt off and walk wherever you want to, right? You can't do that. You got to follow the order. Alright? So in the same way, like in a school, the order, there you get the order, then you get submission. You get the principal, you get the teachers, you get the students, right? Alright. So in the word order, like in the Bible, in the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submission. That means with order comes submission. Okay? We submit to one another. We submit to the principal in the school or to the teachers. We submit to the pilot of the plane. We submit to these people. The word submission is a military word. In the Greek word is hypotassomai. It's a military word. It means it has different ranks. Okay? Different ranks. Just like I gave you the example before. Here we have, in our country, we have a president. The highest rank. We got the senators. We have the Congress, you know. We have the judges. And so we have the governors. And then we have the police. And so forth like that. And so there is submission. So the Bible says we need to submit to one another in the fear of God. Alright? For instance, if you're speeding and suddenly you see a red light behind you in your mirror flashing, that means the first thing that comes to your heart is what? Fear. Oh, please. They're trying to give me a ticket. I know I was speeding. And with fear comes what? Guilt. And fear comes. So here is the same thing. The Bible says that we need to submit to one another in the fear of God. Because God has laid His rules. God has laid His commandments. God has given His will in the Word of God. And when we need to, just like going on the street, we have a respect and a fear for the policeman, so we will not speed. We cannot go the way we want to. Right? In the same way, we cannot live the way we want to. We have to live according to the Word of God, in the fear of God. So if we do something wrong, not right, we should not be happy about it. we should have fear and repentance before God. Alright? So that's what the Bible is saying, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, the thing that I was thinking is that when everybody is basically, even the people who are not Christians, they are submitting to the authorities, right? They are submitting to the authorities and they go according to order. And they submit to these people who are in authority and they go according to the order that is being laid out. Just imagine. Yet, people don't submit to God. Just think about it. He is God. You know, if we can submit to the policemen and the judges and to the laws of this country, and if we cannot, then if we cannot submit to God, what kind of crime are we doing? It is a crime, isn't it? If we don't submit to the policemen on the street and we speed the way we want to, that's a crime, right? How much more it is a crime if we don't submit to God who created us. Think about it. That's why it's so important that we need to first submit to God. The Bible says, then why is it that unbelievers, they don't submit to God? Why? Romans chapter 8 verse 7 gives the answer. Romans 8:7. Romans 8:7. It says here, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, but it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So here, why the people are not submitting to God? They can submit to anybody. Laws of this country they will submit, but not to God, because why? The carnal mind, the fleshly man, the unspiritual man, the man who is not born again, does not submit to God. Because he's not born again. Okay? He's enmity with God. He will do just the opposite what God tells you to do. Submitting to one another is just submitting to what God has said. In John chapter 3, verse 36, Jesus said, John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Here we see, believing is what? Submitting to him. If you truly believe him, you will submit to him. You will obey him. So he who believes in the Son has life, has eternal life. If you doesn't, the wrath of God is going to come. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. A lot of people say, if I ask a lot of people, do you love Jesus? And almost everybody will say, or majority will say, that they really love Jesus. But if they really love Jesus, are they obeying the commandments of God? Are they following the commandments of God? That's where if true love is. You're obeying the commandments of God. Okay? Now, submission is very important for us if we are going to live our Christian life. In our Christian life, we need to submit. As I said, God has given us an order in submission. Alright? Now, the greatest example of submission is given by the Lord Jesus himself. Just imagine, beloved, how our Lord submitted to the Father. The Lord Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, you can read later, in chapter 2 verse 7, it goes on to say that he himself was God. He himself is God. But he did not equal to be considered as God, but he, what? Humbled himself. He emptied himself of his authority and power as God, and he became a man. That means he laid his crown, he laid his throne, and came to this earth, and from the throne of heaven to a manger. What submission is that? As the greatest submission that we have, the Bible says, not even that. He even became obedient to what? To death. Sacrificed his body as a limb, he sacrificed his body for the believers on the cross. That is submission. Just imagine when the Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was in agony because he knows that he is going to the cross. And in agony, he submitted to the Father and he was praying so hard because, you know, our flesh doesn't want submission. Our flesh doesn't like discipline. Our flesh would like to do what we love to do. Our sinful things, what we want to do. But Lord gave us an example. Even though he was praying in agony that he's going to the cross and his sweat became like blood. It became blood and fell on the ground. He was so, praying so hard. And at the end, nobody supported him going to the cross. Everybody deserted him, even his disciples. He alone went to the cross. That means he was submitted to the Father. What an example he has given to us in submission. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 28, John chapter 14, 28, you have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And here he's saying, my Father is greater than I. The Greek word greater is meson. It literally means, he's not saying, by nature, his Father is greater. Or by essence, his Father is greater. No, the word meson means by position. Because he's talking as a servant here. By nature, Jesus and the Father are the same. Because John chapter 10 verse 30, Jesus said, John chapter 10 verse 30, John chapter 10 verse 30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Okay? John 10:30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. One is one in essence, one in nature. Alright? But when Jesus said, John chapter 10 verse, John 14:28, my Father is greater, it means he became a slave, a servant, by position. He lowered himself, Philippians chapter 2. Alright? So we can see submission there. Greater and a servant. Submission. Jesus gave the perfect example. In the same way, we see order and submission in the church. You get the pastors. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13:17. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. The book of Hebrews is saying again, it's an authority structure here in the church, that pastors are the one who is giving you spiritual food. And the pastor is the one who meditate on the Word of God, who spend a lot of time in the Word of God. So why? The reason is so that you will be edified, that you will be encouraged. The reason is that you will come closer to the throne room of God. The reason is that you will have what the pastor is doing is he's spending his time in agony, in prayer, meditation, for you, doing all this for you. And the Bible is saying that you should pray for, especially you need to pray for the pastor. So do not disobey those who rule over you, you know, and you need to be happy and pray and ask the Lord that thank God for pastors who are giving the true word of God. Okay, and so if you're not submissive to the pastor and always trying to do things the way you want to, and if the pastor is carrying a big load with a lot of grief, oh my goodness, this congregation. Imagine what happened to Moses when the children were in the wilderness, right? These children were murmuring and complaining and coming against Moses and Aaron. Moses was grieved. It was not easy. It was tough. And that's why you need to give. So it's so important that those who rule over you be submissive, because we are doing this for your own profit. For your soul would prosper. Your soul would fatten. That you will be excited to serve God. That's why it's so important. But of course today, there are a lot of churches, they are for money. Nothing but they talk about money. Give this much and God will bless you. You know, and you got to give money and buildings. That's why we have it in a house. You know, we don't talk about money in the church here. I don't talk money from the pulpit. You know, and so important that our message should be Christ-centered, not material-centered, not money-centered, not worldly-centered, but we want to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, and our whole aim is that you would become like Him. What a joy it would be to see everybody in this church in heaven. And God will say, well done, my servant. You did a great job. What a day that would be. So it's so important. That's the duty of the pastor. And the same way, you get elders in the church. You get other people who are in authority. So if you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. 1 Peter 5, 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now, it's not talking, it is true that the younger should submissive to the older people. That's why in different cultures, we don't call an older person by name, right? We have a respectful name to call. So older person is already being, we respect them, we are submitted to them in humility. In the same way, the younger here in context is talking to the younger Christians. Okay? Younger Christians. the Christian, you can be an older person, but you can be young in Christ. Alright? Still, you need to submit to the elders of the church, to the authority of the church. It's so important. Now, we go, if you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Colossians 3:20. Says your children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. And here we see children in the house. We see an order, right? With order what comes? Submission, right? So the children should obey your parents. It's important what the Bible says here. And if the parent, like for instance, let's say if the parent is evil, is wicked, and there is this story, Christopher Love, he was a Puritan, and he loved God. He had a passion for God. He was only a teenager, at 12 years old, and 13 years old. But his father was very wicked. And now, what do? You are going to, when his father said, I don't want you to go to church. Well, Bible says, obey your parents. But who are you going to obey? God or the father? Who is above? There is a structure here again. Who is the number one authority? God. When it comes to that, when somebody contradicts the word of God, then you go to the supreme authority, God. You obey God more than man. So what Christopher Love did was, when the father spanked him for going to church, he was upstairs, he lived in upstairs, he put a rope from his room and he went to church. And he got spankings. Because he didn't care. Because he wanted to obey God. So if you have evil parents who are like that, then you need to obey God. You understand? But it's a blessing to have Christian parents, isn't it? That they know the word of God and they can admonish you, encourage you to read the word and bring you to church. And that's a great blessing. So, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 says, wives, submit to your own husbands. So here we get children obeying the parents, the wives submitting to the husbands, right? And husbands loving the wives. So in the same way, we see in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Here we see the authority structure, right? First, the husband is the head of the house. The Bible says, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. And so Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. So the husband is the head of the house. First Christ, in the house, there is a head. Just like I gave you all the other illustrations before. Hotel and airplane and wherever you go, there is an order. Alright? So husband is called the head of the house. Then comes the wife. Then comes the children. And we are going to go through more detail next week on this. Alright? So it's so important for you to understand that. There is an order. The order comes, first you can see the order in the world, then you can see order in the church, then you can see order in the house. How detailed God has gone. You understand? How beautifully God has arranged order. So we can walk the Christian life in an orderly way. Alright, so if you turn with me to 1 Peter, let me give you a quotation by Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon said, to us the truth of the gospel are absolute certainties for which we do not crave tolerance, but to which we demand submission. basically, the gospel, the word of God, is that we put submission to the authority of the word of God. That's the most important thing. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Say, therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do good. Now, what God is saying here is that we need to submit ourselves to the ordinance of man, even to the kings, you know, different, to the authorities. Alright? Now, just imagine, Peter is writing this letter during the persecution. Who is the one who persecuted during this time? It was Nero. Nero was persecuting the Christians. You know what Nero did? And he burned Christians alive. He put tar, you know, on Christians alive, and he lighted them. He lighted, you know, he put tar on their bodies, and he put a fire so they will be light. They will burn to death. While Nero was going in his chariot naked, enjoying. That's how the persecution was. And they are going through severe persecution. And Peter is still saying, what? Be submissive to your authority. That means, no matter even if there are wicked people in authority, where God has placed you under their authority, we don't obey their wicked ways, but we still need to submit to them. If you have a wicked boss, we need to pray for them. You know, we should not come against them. We should show that our Christian life, that we should be a light to them. Okay? Remember the story there was a story that in the South, long time ago, where a man, during the time of the slaves, where this white man went to the slave market and he wanted to buy a slave. And he saw this man who was very healthy, and he asked the man who was selling this, well, how much, is this slave good? Is he a good slave? And he said, yes, he's a good one. And any defects on him? He said, well, only one small defect. What is it? Yes, he prays all the time. The man who was going to buy it said, I know how to deal with that. I'm going to buy the slave. So he bought the slave. And this is a true story, okay? No, he bought it. Now he bought him, then he told him to work in his estate. And he was a hard worker, but he's praying to the Lord. He was a Christian, he was a born-again slave, praying to his master. And then, when he saw him praying, he whipped him. He said, I don't want you to pray. And the more he whipped him, the more he prayed. And at the end, he prayed for his master. And the more we whipped him, and he said, oh, master, I'm praying for you. He was just saying, it's for the glory of God. And he couldn't stop whipping him the more he was praying. And he can see his eyes were different. He was not angry at his master. He was not mad at his master. Because he saw that his master was lost. He doesn't know. And you know what? Then later on, God answered the slave's prayer. And one day, his master was very confused. He couldn't understand why when he whipped him, he was even not angry. He was not bitter. He was just happy. Jesus said, blessed are those who persecuted me. Rejoice when you are persecuted, right? So he was happy even when he was whipped. The master was confused and troubling his heart, and he was in agony. And he said to his wife, oh, I think I need prayer. My wife said, I don't know how to pray. Oh, call that slave. Maybe he can pray for me. Because I'm troubled, my heart is, you know, sinking. And he called the slave. And you know how to pray, right? Yes, master. And he held his hand and prayed. And both, husband and wife, both came to know the Lord. What an example. So here, even if you have a wicked man in authority, just be submissive. Who knows how the Lord will do the work, right? Amazing. So here, what God has put in order of submission, let no man put in disorder. You know, and if you hear an educated man who contradicts with scripture, don't say he's a great man. He's just an educated idiot. He's not a great man. If somebody says he's contradicting, I don't care how great his education is, but he's contradicting with scripture, he's not an educated man. He's just an educated idiot. Because only the wisdom that comes from God is the one that brings intelligence. So, you know, we should not kiss the feet of the pole, or kiss the feet of the statues, or kiss the feet of saints. We should kiss the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not as a statue, but kissing his spiritual, loving him. It's so important. Now, if you remember Apostle John in the book of Revelation, you know, I hear a lot of people, they say, they die and they went to heaven and they came back and they saw their uncle, they saw their aunties, or they saw their husbands or wives. No, I have a trouble with that. Because they didn't see Jesus. You know, in heaven, you know, Apostle John, in the book of Revelation, he says that when heavens opened, then the Lord, you know, he was able to see heaven in a spiritual way. And in the midst of the throne, he saw a lamb who had been slain. That's what he saw. In the same way, we as Christians, we need to see the Lamb of God. Even if we are living on this earth, we cannot miss the Lamb of God. We cannot miss the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us two eyes so we can focus better. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave us a mind. So it's so important that we need to see the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we can see him, we will do everything in submission. It's so important. There is this true story where in the very old days, there was a Puritan pastor who was visiting an old man. And it was a stormy day. It was during winter. And it was icy cold. And there was a winter storm. And the pastor was visiting this old man. This old man was very poor. He was living in poverty. And this was near Edinburgh in Scotland. And when he went to see this poverty-stricken old man in this icy, stormy weather, and he saw this old man sitting with his Bible open on his knees. And at the same time he was in great discomfort, meaning there was snow coming through the roof and through the door. And it was very cold. There was no fireplace or anything like that. But this old man, he was on his Bible, on his knees. And the pastor said, he said, "How are you doing, John, today?" And the reply of the old man was this, "I'm sitting under his shadow with great delight." Wow! That is submission. True submission. Here is you find an old man in poverty, in a broken house, where the snow is going through the roof and through the door, but yet he is reading his Bible on his knees when somebody asked him, "How are you doing?" He said, "Miserable." He didn't curse God. He didn't curse anybody. But he was excited. He was happy. He was rejoicing. He said, "I'm sitting under his shadow with great delight." Now that is submission and love to God. And if you truly submit to God, you will love God. You will have a passion for Him. Now just imagine, you are not living in poverty. You are not living in great difficulties. You are living in comfort and style. And you have the Word of God readily available. But yet, how many Christians are complaining? How many Christians are not content what they have? How many Christians are murmuring? And that's the lesson we need to learn in submission. True submission, we don't complain. True submission is to God. That your soul will submit to the Lord, that you will be happy, you will rejoice, either in richness, whether you are wealthy, or in poverty. We will be like that man and say, "I'm sitting under his shadow with great delight." Submitting unto his will, sitting at his under his feet. You know, it's better to sit at the feet of our Lord's majesty than to have the worldly pleasures and the worldly wealth. Isn't it? You understand what I'm saying? How profitable this is for you? You know, it's so important that we need to think spiritual way, and we need to understand the spiritual things of God. How we need to, even when you're going through trial, little difficulties, we don't go through hard difficulties here. We go through some difficulties. Everybody goes through some trials and hardships, right? But when we go through, how we need to submit to God. Even we sang that song. I think the song we sang, I was just smiling for myself when everybody was singing, "Let sorrow do its work, send grief and pain." We sang that. God, send grief and pain. You really mean it when you stand that? Because it's good sometimes. It's very good to go through hardship. It's good to go through trials and tribulations. Why? It is hard for our flesh. Our flesh doesn't like it. It's very painful for our flesh. But it purifies our soul, isn't it? It purifies our soul. Just like I gave the example of a diamond. A diamond that is taken from the ground first doesn't look like a beautiful diamond. It's all muddy. It comes from the mud, from the earth, and it's ugly. It's a little piece of stone. But when you wash it and you nicely cut it, when you cut the diamond, oh, that's the way we are like a diamond in God's hand. He took us out of the miry clay, out of the pit of hell. He took us. Then what did He do? He washed us with the precious blood of Christ. And we became clean, like a diamond. After that, what does He do? He trims us, cuts it. And it hurts. So these trials and tribulation comes and he cuts that, and he cuts those things. He takes our weaknesses away, and he turns. He takes the pleasures of sin we love to do, but God cuts those, and he turns. We love to sin, but now it hurts us. At the end, he cuts us, he trims us, the diamond at the end becomes so shiny, beautiful, for God's glory, isn't it? We go to heaven now. It's a who took the diamond? God did it. Who cleaned it? God did it. Who cut it? God did it. Everything goes for God's glory. Nothing goes for me. I couldn't cut it in myself. That's why we are a vessel for God, created for His glory. Submission. Submit to God. Let's pray. Oh, our gracious Father, we thankful, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is so filling to our soul and so satisfying for our soul. And we pray and ask, Lord, all what we heard today, that we would hide it in our hearts so that we won't sin against you. And we learn about order and submission. We pray, Lord God Almighty, that cause us to meditate for the rest of the week what we heard today. And we ask, Lord God Almighty, that we would remember your word, Lord. That we would have a passion for your word. And above all, Lord, that we would sit under the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross would be our center. That our eyes would be focused in heaven, Lord. That our hearts would live above this earth, Lord. That we would focus in heaven. That we can walk on water if we focus our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, give us a passion.